If you take your Bible, we will be looking at 3 John this morning. This morning we're going to be looking at the first 8 verses of this letter, and then next week we'll look at verses 9 through 15. I want to give greetings from North Hills Church. Like Rusty mentioned, I serve there as an elder, and I'm thankful to Rusty and the other elders here at Grace Covenant for this opportunity to be in this pulpit. I do not take this lightly. This is a privilege to preach the Word of God, and I'm thankful for your church and specifically to one of your members, Barry Hubbard, as has been mentioned already, just the friendship that Barry and I have had over the years. Barry didn't want to mention this, but Barry's known me two-thirds of my life. So that makes him, you know, he gets the age. But two-thirds of my life, he's known me. But just a man that's invested in my life, same as Rusty, just poured in into my life and invested. And it's been a privilege to be able to know them. And I'm just thankful for their friendship in the gospel. But before we dive into the text this morning, I want to pray for our time together. So let's pray to our King. Lord, may you bless our gathering this morning. As we have sung, as we've prayed, and we hear your word. Now as we open your word, may your truth be proclaimed for the benefit of the saints and for your glory. Lord, guard me from error. May you bless the people of Grace Covenant. May you bless her elders and leaders. May you use this church for your glory in Monroe and throughout Ouachita Parish. Lord, use this time ultimately for your glory and for the good of your people. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us read 3 John, verses 1 through 8. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, that you may be in good health, as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. This is the word of the Lord. 3 John is the shortest book in the Bible. It is an actual note letter from one to another. And the focus of this book, the third letter of John, is the truth of God, the love of God and his people, and Christian support, hospitality, while addressing division and wickedness in a congregation. In this letter, we see two examples that are good examples to follow. Ones who hold fast to the truth. The first is Gaius, and this letter is addressed to him. And then the other example is Demetrius. But then John writes of one who is bringing harm to the unity of Christ's bride, and that is Diotrephes. And he should not be supported. And so by this, John is reminding readers that Christians should walk in the truth, show love and hospitality to other believers. The truth is so important to understanding this letter. In the first 4 verses, the word truth is mentioned 4 times. So there's an emphasis. There's an emphasis on the truth. John's own life is a testimony to the truth being lived out. He knows the truth. He is firm in God's word. He shares the truth to Gaius. Gaius walks in the truth. And then Gaius is called in the latter part of this passage to continue to support missions efforts and gospel proclamation. And so as believers in the Lord Jesus, the truth of the gospel and God's word is our very foundation upon which we stand. We do not budge from it. We hold fast to it and then desire to take the truth of God's word to our neighbors and to the nations. And so as we walk through this passage today, we have 2 points. Our first point is walking in the truth. Walking in the truth. We'll see that in verses 1 through 4. Walking in the truth. Our second point is support. Support those who labor for the truth. Support those who labor for the truth. And we'll see that in verses 5 through 8. So our first point this morning, walking in the truth. Walking in the truth. Let's read verses 1 through 4 again. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. So beginning in verse 1, the elder addresses this letter to Gaius. Gaius has been discipled by John. He views him as one of his children in verse 4. And he even desires to see Gaius soon and talk to him face to face, as we see in verse 14. Gaius was probably one of the most common names in the Roman Empire. Although the name Gaius is recorded 5 times in the New Testament, scholars say there are only 3 different men. So it would be very difficult to know which specific Gaius this would be exactly. But some think that this Gaius is the same one that the Apostle Paul mentioned in Romans chapter 16, verse 23, who served as a host to Paul. And that would be very fitting of the character of Gaius, as we see in 3 John. Some other descriptions of Gaius are beloved and one who he loves in the truth. John calls Gaius beloved in verse 2, in verse 5, and verse 11. So Gaius is a man in which John dearly loves. But more than that, he loves Gaius in the truth. There's a gospel bond here, a blood-bought brotherhood. In our culture, we see bonds and friendships shaped over a variety of things. It could be over sports teams, video games, or other activities. But for the Christian, what a bond that we have in the truth. Christ died for his people. And this partnership, this love we have for one another is because of what Christ has done. And now we are united for an eternity. We will love one another here, and we will love one another in heaven. And in verse 2, John continues in his care for Gaius by praying that all may go well with him and that he is in good health. What I found interesting in my study of this passage is that this is where some false teachers of the prosperity gospel try to find their footing, in that God promises health and wealth. Now, from the culture in which John lived, and even in our culture in the South, this would be viewed as a common greeting, right? I hope you're doing well in the Lord and in your health. But there are those like Oral Roberts who use this verse to say that every Christian should be prosperous in this life. But again, this is a common greeting. And John genuinely cares for the well-being of Gaius. false teachers will strive to take any passage and fit it into their beliefs that are contrary to the gospel of grace. And so this greeting is not a call for one to be living a prosperous life. But what we see in the first two verses is John addressing this letter to Gaius. And there's a genuine love for Gaius, and letting him know that he cares for him. John is not saying that one is going to be a millionaire. He is saying that he cares for Gaius and loves him. Continuing on in verse 3, we see John is rejoicing. John is rejoicing. Why is John rejoicing here? Because Gaius is walking in the truth. Gaius is walking in the truth. I have family who have not repented of sins. I have friends who have denied the truths of the gospel. I mourn and I weep because they know the truth, yet they do not walk in it. But what a wonderful sight it is to see one walking in the truth, to confess sin, and to live in accordance with the Scriptures. What does the truth mean here in Scripture? In John chapter 17:17, Jesus says, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. The word of God is truth. John was entrusted with the truth. He gave the truth of the Scriptures to Gaius. The Scriptures do not lack. We are not waiting for another revelation. The word of the Lord is truth. And the Scriptures testify of the gospel of God. Why does this matter for our day? We have a culture around us that continually says it is advancing. But the truth of John's day is the same truth for our day. Man has not evolved. Humanity is as ruined in sin just as it was 2,000 years ago. The need for humanity is the same. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, Scripture says that God is light. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. In John's first letter, the description of God being light is a description of the holiness of God. When we are confronted with the truth of the holiness of God, we are also confronted with the truth of the sinfulness of humanity. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says that we were dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Without Christ, we stand before a holy, just God, dead in our sin. And we are not capable of living a holy life, honoring and pleasing to the Lord, because we are dead in sin. It's impossible for us to do enough good deeds to make us righteous. It's impossible for our works to save. This is the truth of the gospel that the Scriptures declare. We are sinners in need of saving, and we cannot save ourselves. There's only one remedy for our sin. The second person of our triune God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word incarnate, took on flesh and dwelt among us, as John chapter 1, verse 14 says. This is what we celebrate during the season of Christmas, right? Jesus taking on flesh. And He lived a sinless life in our place. No one else can live a sinless life. Only Him. And since no one else can live a sinless life, He is the only one who can die in the place of His people. He's the only one who can take our sin. Our sin resulted in death. And we need one to stand in our place for us to be reconciled to a holy God. And Jesus is the only sufficient substitute. He is our only propitiation, the righteous one suffering for the unrighteous. He died in the place of rebels to a holy God. And he did not stay in the grave. He rose again on the third. This is the truth of the gospel, that those who behold him in faith will be forgiven of their sin. And we have a living hope because our King is on the throne. So is the truth of the gospel needed for today? Is man still bad? Is biblical truth sufficient to address the need of the world today? Yes! Yes! Only the Word of God and the gospel is sufficient to address what the world needs today. Politics is not going to be the remedy. Following your favorite sports team or going to Disney is not going to be the remedy. Living the American dream is not the remedy. The gospel of God is the only remedy for hostile sinners. So God's word is sufficient to address the most important need. That is for sinful man to be reconciled to a holy God. And God's word declares that the only way, the only remedy for a sinful man to be reconciled to a holy God is by Jesus Christ. So the word of God and the gospel of God is the truth that John was given. He has testified that Gaius is walking in this truth. He is laboring for the truth. And his life is being spent for the king's cause. In verse 4, Scripture says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Similarly to verse 3, John is again joyful that there are others who are walking in the truth of the gospel. He hears reports that they are walking in the truth, and it makes him joyful. Gaius's name in Latin means to rejoice. So Gaius is following after his name, that John rejoices while knowing that his children are following the truth. By the phrase of my children, some scholars say that John led Gaius to Christ. And as we have seen, Gaius was a man focused on the truth. He was a man focused on the truth. And this love and friendship is rooted in the truth of the gospel. And it will not be abandoned to fleeting things. The word walking is used in verse 3 and 4. It's meaning that Gaius is following the truth. He claims the gospel to be true, and that has impacted the manner in which he lives. This should be said of any believer, right? If one confesses Jesus to be Lord and Savior, that should impact our whole life. And they should follow the Lord walking in the truth. But that may not be the description of our day. There may be many people that confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, but they won't follow him when life gets tough. Some say Jesus is Lord, but there's no desire to kill sin, but rather a love for sin. If we have lived the Christian life long enough, we have seen this. And it's heartbreaking when people have been among us for a season, and yet they abandon the truth for worldly causes in the next. But believers in the Lord Jesus should be walking in the truth. We should be walking in the truth. Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So Christians will be those who by faith are resting in Christ, abiding in Him, and walking in the truth. Christians rejoice when other Christians hold fast to and live out biblical truth. It should be a desire to see other believers grow to maturity. This is one of the many hopes of the elders here. I know that. It's one of the hopes of the elders at North Hills. We pray that people continue to grow in the knowledge of Christ and be faithful. As we think about this, as we think about growing in the knowledge of Christ, continue to walk in the truth, think about how singing helps us in the Christian life. It's a wonderful thing to see in the local church in which we are dealing with a variety of things in this life, but we can see each other and hear each other sing. Knowing that there are those who are faced with a variety of things, yet sing as loud as they can to give praises to the King. And that produces joy in other believers. We see that. It produces joy in us. It produces joy in other believers. And as the church gathers and the word is opened, we are reminded that we're to keep our eyes upon Christ and the truth of the gospel. So as Grace Covenant gathers each Lord's Day, and you see each other sing and you open up the word, this has produced joy in you that you continue to walk in the truth. And Christians are to love the truth of the gospel because it is the King's decree. Look to Him. Look to the King and you shall be saved. Repent from your sin and believe in Him. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We rejoice in the truth. Christians walk in it. We want to be grounded upon the truth. And we have a desire to take the truth of the gospel to the nations. That leads us to our second point this morning. Support those who labor for the truth. So walk in the truth in verses 1 through 4. Support those who labor for the truth in verses 5 through 8. And let's read those verses. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. So verse 5 begins by John recognizing Gaius' efforts among these strangers in the Lord. And he sees this as a faithful thing. Gaius was honoring the Lord in his work. There was a commitment to spreading the gospel. But Gaius is also aware that not everyone desires to be a faithful witness of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, "For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough." So that there's an understanding in the early church that there would be those who do not proclaim the gospel, even though they say they do, or they don't desire to proclaim the gospel. But here, Gaius' efforts among strangers is viewed as faithful. Those Gaius has sent out, he has cared for them as brothers. And then Gaius is to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, as verse 6 says. To send them with support. We know and we confess that God needs no support. Yet in His plan and providence, His people proclaim the gospel and we support one another. And this support is through prayer, giving of financial resources, and if able, traveling to visit. In Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas were prayed for by those in the church and then sent out. They came back and they gave reports. And throughout 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul is rebuking the church in Corinth while also appealing to the church to give to missionary efforts. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 3 and 4, "For they gave according to their means, and as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints." So the sending of these faithful brothers in a manner worthy of God is sending them in support, praying for them, giving financially when able, and if possible, going to visit them. These brothers are going out for what? What are they going out for? Why would one desire to go to the ends of the earth? They're going out for the sake of the name, as verse 7 says. We take the gospel to the nations. And although the name here is not explicitly mentioned, the name is assumed among readers. It is the only name under heaven by which one may be saved, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 5, verses 40 through 42, Scripture says, "They called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus." Beloved, how can we not but speak? We were dead in our sin, but in Christ we are forgiven. We are made alive. We are born again from above. Here in 3 John, Scripture points out the motivation for these missionaries is to go out for the sake of the name, not for their own sake. Our desire in proclaiming the gospel is not for self-exaltation, but for the glory of God, that our lives be spent for the King's cause. And there's a very present threat to the lives of those John is writing about. They are risking their lives for the name. Jim Elliot, a missionary to Ecuador, said, "He is no fool. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." So we should pray and support those who are taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. They have gone out. The Lord may send one of us. It is the responsibility of believers in the church to support gospel work. Continuing on in verse 7, Scripture says, "Accept nothing from the Gentiles." We are depending on the Lord to provide and not the world. It should not be up to the world to take the gospel to the nations. The church is given this responsibility, and it should support gospel work. If we're expecting Disney to fund gospel work, we're going to end up with Disney disciples. But the church of Christ should fund the work of missions, preaching the gospel of Christ. One might not be able to go physically, but John says that we ought to support people. Again, this support is by prayer. Praying for those that go and that the Lord sends more. Support is giving of Bibles, books, and other resources and giving financially. So if you are not able to go, that is not an excuse. Give support. Pray. Pray that the Lord raises up more workers for the harvest. In chapters 10 through 12 in the book of Acts, Scripture records Peter being sent out and reporting to the church. In Acts 13 through 14, we see Barnabas and Paul sent out. And then after Acts 15, much of the book of Acts records Paul's labors so that the gospel goes forth. In church history, John Calvin started a group called the Company of Pastors. And in Geneva, during the time of the Reformation, all Catholic priests left Geneva. So Calvin saw the need to train men up and these pulpits be filled, but also send pastors out. And so during this 70-year period of this Company of Pastors, there were 130 men that were trained from within or came to Geneva that were sent out to churches and then sent out to the nations. Andrew Fuller served as the president of the Baptist Mission Society. And his friend, William Carey, told him before he left for India, "I will go down into the pit if you hold the ropes." Fuller went around Britain and raised money to support the missions effort in India. So Andrew Fuller was able to raise funds so that those like Carey would be able to concentrate on the work. Verse 8 is very similar to that of verse 6. Cooperative efforts in the gospel are important for the church as a whole. These are fellow workers. These are fellow laborers for the truth. Every single believer helps participate in the proclamation of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We go to our neighbors and we go to the nations, resting in a sovereign God and sharing His gospel. He saves. We cannot change the hearts of men. Only God can do that. We go out together. We partner together for the sake of the name. Not our name, His name. There's generosity present among believers and churches that partner together for the sake of the name. We desire that the gospel goes forth, not our ideas, not our branding, the gospel of grace. And those that proclaim the gospel should strive to rightly handle the word of truth. No one, for the sake of gospel efforts, should desire to put up a statue of Evan Knieze. That would be silly. But we are called to steward funds wisely. Those funds could be used to get Bibles in the hands of believers who don't have them. It could be used to help plant churches. Whatever support looks like. But these efforts here mentioned should not be seen to exalt self or exalt one body, but that churches plant churches and we see people come to faith in Christ. And if we go out under our authority, we're going to fail. We will fail. But as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we go out under His authority. And He is King over all. Beloved, may we walk in the truth. May we walk in the truth and support those who labor for the truth. We only get one life, and it will soon pass. Only what is done for Christ will last. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this Lord's Day. May you press upon our hearts the truths of the gospel. May you continue to remind us that we were once dead in our sins, but now in Christ we are alive. We are reconciled to you, the Holy God, because of what Christ has done. And Lord, may you continue to work in your people for our good and for your glory. May you use your people for your kingdom's cause, not our own. May our churches foster partnerships for the sake of your name, not our own. Or may we see gospel cooperation, love. We see gospel friendships made, grown, and flourish. Lord, we pray for more healthy churches in Washtenaw Parish. And if you tarry, our names will be forgotten and unknown, but may our lives be spent to proclaim the only name under heaven by which one may be saved, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in his name we pray. Amen.